What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Evan.
Hello, hello.
Hey, 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 howdy. All right, Evan, what do you got for us tonight?
I got two for you, and one is a traditionally kind of dumb way of quoting something, but I'll let you react to it. Okay, here's the one I like.
Okay.
Do not come into agreement with fear. And the second one, there are no great things, only small things with great love. Now, not only is it like a lovey-dovey kind of, you know, right? But it's we talked about it before, the quote that just switches words around.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, well, do you have a real meaning, or did you just think that the switching of the words was clever?
Right. Yeah, is this just a quote just to, like have a clever quote?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of examples, but it's like, you only love the things that you are fearful of. You don't fear the things that you are want to be in love with. You know, it's that type of stuff.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, well, yeah. Just because those two can be switched doesn't mean it's like an interesting thought.
Right.
It's just like a weird Mad Lib kind of. What's it called when you can reverse the letters and make the same word?
Race car. Palindrome.
Yeah, it's just a palindrome quote. Maybe that's what
right. Exactly. Love the haters, don't hate the lovers.
Right.
Or hate the lovers, don't love the haters.
Right, yeah, that stupid shit.
Yeah, right.
But anyway.
I feel like, don't act like you're wise because you're like, just trying to speak like Yoda.
Words. Come on, palindrome.
Palindrome, get out of here.
Get out of here, pal.
So the first one was like, don't go into an argument with fear?
No. Way off. Do not come into agreement with fear.
Okay.
Don't just sink into it, right?
Right.
I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Don't come into agreement. That's actually like, I was just looking through randoms one. That was kind of one from like a faith Christian kind of has an angle to it. But it was more, I like the idea of like, you know, hold, don't let the fear take hold. Don't, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but I like the way that's put. Do not come into agreement with fear. Like, yeah, well, that's just how it is. That's I can't do that. That old thing, right? Like, right. I can't. If you're lucky, you have some self confidence put into you that makes you go, yeah, I can probably do that. I can probably do that. That's a great way to start all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone else can do it, I can do it. Like, you know,
the glass is half full.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, what's your first, reaction to a problem or even, like, or to something good or bad, you know?
Right.
It's like you see somebody else doing something good and you're like, oh, cool. Like, that looks awesome. Like, that looks fun. Like, I'm glad they're doing that. I should try something like that, too. Or if it's like, oh, man, like, they're having so much fun that, like, I wish I could do that. That sucks. You know, like, I'm not doing that thing. They're doing it. You know, so it's like the whole your perspective on what's happening around you.
Yeah, do not come into agreement. It's like a weird kind of businessy thing. I will not come into agreement with this fear, so.
Yeah, right. A business affirmation.
I will not. That does not suit me.
That is, but that's like, that second quote is almost a, well, here, do the second quote again.
Let me see if I can pull it up. I may have already discarded it. here we go. There are no great things, only small things with great love. Like, I don't even understand what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean? There are only small things.
So it's see, that's what I'm saying. They get caught up in the way that you switch around the words.
Yeah.
That you can say any type of thing. Like, no, there are great things.
Yeah.
And those great things aren't necessarily small things with a lot of love. Like, what are we talking
right.
about? It can yeah. be a huge thing with just, I don't know.
Yeah, the Great Wall of China is an awesome thing, and it's huge. It's like, you know, the sun.
And it wasn't really built from love. It was built from desperation, fear, yeah. and then a lot of slave labor, you know?
Yeah.
Come on.
Great, literally small things with great love.
Yeah, it's that weird, even though that's not definitely the palindromy thing, but it's yeah. that, the deed, it's trying to switch the thing. So there are no great things, only the blah, blah, blah with great love. You know, it's yeah. like, you're just either using the word twice in a different way,
yeah,
right. or you're switching the two, the four words, and replacing them.
So yeah, it's funny. Like,
let's not do that.
The same type of sentiment I feel about those type of, you know, quotes, I feel about positive affirmations. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, mm-hmm. you're beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. no one can get you down today. Like, that's, I don't know what it is. It's so, I think it's like, I don't know. For so, me, yeah. okay, so for one, it feels very feminine, right? Like, the positive affirmations to make yourself feel good, you know? Like, mm-hmm. so, I don't know if that's like what makes me jaded about it or what, but like, that's like something that, you know, like women do or mothers do to like their daughters or their sons. Like, I don't know. I just feel like you don't need positive affirmations if you come from a loving family or if you, you know, care about yourself or the people around you. You can tell someone positive things about themselves, right? You can tell your loved ones that you love them and that you're proud of them, that they do good right. things and like, you know, and that they should be proud of themselves. But like the whole, like put positive affirmations around you and stickers and like things on your, like write things on your clothes. Mm-hmm. Like,
now, like, I agree with you, and yeah. I feel the same way, but to play devil's advocate, some people don't have that, so they are desperate for those affirmations. So that continuing of, like, finding ways to put that back in their head to fight the opposite feelings, right? Because they didn't have a great whatever. You know, a lot of people
right.
wrestle with, like, yeah, thinking very low of themselves. Of themselves, and that might be because of the way they were, you know. So maybe they right. they need it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I do. I feel, but
yeah,
having pushed back on that, I feel the same way. It's corny.
Yeah,
it's yeah, very. It's very like, and also, you know, I don't need. There's people will tell you certain things. You're worth this. Yeah. You're worth that. But you don't know me.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know. Yes, maybe you can say I'm worth, but it's like when those companies go like, hey, you buy this and try this one, try our new thing, you're worth it. It's like,
right.
you don't know who you're selling this to.
Yeah, right.
Or the ad campaign's like, you deserve it.
Yeah.
That guy might have just killed his wife. How do you know he deserved it?
I know, right. Yeah.
Like,
drink
you don't know
Coke. You deserve it.
Right. It's like, wait, you don't know what I just did.
Yeah.
I'd be the worst person in the world. You still think I deserve it?
I just ate my neighbor's hand, and I'm thirsty.
Hey, like, hey, sit down. That must have been exhausting,
yeah,
chopping that body up. You deserve it. Do a little something for you. Yeah, it's almost yeah. like this weird, you know, it's like they're talking, it's kind of talking down to you a little bit. Like, it's right. almost so simple that it's just like, yeah, well, no shit. It's
right.
Like the, you know, it's just like, be good to others. Do this. And the basic things, it's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's why I was like, well, you know, I feel weird. Like, I don't like those type of positive affirmations because they, you know, I mean, I understand what they're for, but it's just something about like, yeah, it's just so, like detached, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, if you're telling yourself those things, right, like in your own mind. Right. Like,
sure.
I am worth it. I am beautiful. Like, that's something, right? You can repeat those things. That helps. Like, therapy does that and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Yeah. It just seems corny and, like,
and
I don't know.
Yeah. And there's a little bit, of a overshare thing. People will share that. And right away, you're kind of like, well, I understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But you're also kind of oversharing what your demons are. Whether that helps you or not, or you think that helps others, that's another thing.
Right.
But it's like when you're sharing, like, you are beautiful today, you are strong, you are enough, that type of stuff.
Right, right.
It's like, are you sharing it for you or me or, like, what? Like,
right. And maybe that's, yeah, maybe that's also what, like, makes me, like, jaded about it, is that people use it on social media.
Yeah, you know? Right.
It's like, I'm going to tell myself I'm beautiful today because I deserve it. Like, okay, well, just do it for yourself.
Right.
Like, why do you have to tell the rest of us that you think you're beautiful? Like, that's cool. Like,
right. You don't want people fishing for, like, fake compliments. But, I mean, you know, some people do, I guess, some people need that.
Yeah.
You know? It's a little annoying, but there are worse things to share on social media.
I guess
as we all know. Right. Well, there's a lot of negativity out there, so a few affirmations of whatever they are fighting.
You're so positive tonight, Devin. What's going on?
I don't know.
Role reversal.
Dude, calm down.
You're like sick and you're drinking like tea and
I know.
It's IV water it's and a whole, CBD
whole,
oil.
Whole different me.
You're like, hey, man, chill out, dude. It's a whole different you.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been I've been kind of busy around the shop lately, which is fun because we had, you know, like the nice snowstorm that we talked about in the last podcast, and in some of those days, so I actually had off the entire week after the snowstorm. Not off technically, but we didn't have school in person. So we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off completely, and then we had virtual learning on Thursday and Friday for Baltimore City. So I taught, you know. Taught from the studio, and bought myself a new little stool, so I'm sitting on that now, my little podcasting stool, which is not the softest or most comfortable thing I've ever sat on. I think, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's more comfortable than the metal stool, but it's definitely is wanting for more padding. So I might have to modify a little bit.
Man, I've been sitting, I can't see much. I've been editing and sitting and podcasting on a wooden kitchen chair.
Oh, really?
Since the beginning. So it's not very fun. And it squeezes me on the sides.
Oh, man.
My big fat ass squeezes into it. But,
it keeps you awake.
It definitely, it's not very comfortable. Even though it's a good sturdy wood chair, so I can kick back on the two legs and kind of put my legs up on the, like, when I'm rewatching videos.
That's kind of nice. Lean back and put your nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
what was my point? You were.
I was talking about the stool, new podcasting stool.
Yeah.
Not super comfy, so I need to make a little cushion for it, like extra cushion for the top of it.
Oh yeah. No, I was gonna say. For the series of videos you put up, though, I was not thrilled about your music choice, even though it's the music I sent you. Because it's kind of, it's a good, one of the good songs, but you really have to be picky about where you pull from.
Right.
On those, because some of it's just a little, it's not as smooth as it could be, you know, because we play for like 6 minutes and then.
Yeah.
But did you go through them?
I listened to like two different ones. And then I found that one, which just kind of had the like the meandering guitar vibe that I just wanted, kind of something that's like background music. Cause I wanted, cause the problem with like that is that, you know, when I shoot regular video, it has sound. Now, obviously I can just get rid of sound completely, you know, and that's fine. But sometimes I want the sound in the background. Mm-hmm. But I want to, you know, but I also want like an overlay of music as well. And I can do that in Instagram fine, but I can't just record that video that I'd made sound on and then put it over onto YouTube short. So that's why I asked you for the audio. So that way we could have our own audio. So I, you know, it hit that like just meandering acoustic guitar stuff, which is what I was hoping for. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the best one ever, but I was like, that's fine. It's just like meandering guitar music, like real, like you're hanging out and just a couple people just strumming guitars.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And it was, I wanted also to be able to do, like all of the things have the same music basically.
Yeah.
So. Right. So I was able to just like make it as I how did I do it? I like download it as a video file or something. And it, because on Instagram, I can't, I mean, maybe there's a way to do it, but like you can import music, but you import it from a video, like a previous video. There's not a way to like import like an MP3 into the Instagram, you know, video editing editor. So I was able to save, like I went through and just found a clip that, you know, in the middle of what that I think was 3 minutes long that I had, because that's like the longest you can do for Instagram for a video. If it's going to be recommended to new viewers, it has to be 3 minutes or less. You can put videos up that are longer, but it just says they won't recommend them to new viewers. So my goal was just to keep each part like, you know, under 3 minutes. So I just gave myself a clip of music that was exactly 3 minutes. So that way, whatever I did, I knew I could just match with that. And that was the one that fit. So
nice.
But you did send me a whole list, so now I can actually go through and I can make a bunch clips. So that's really good.
Yeah, you so just have to sort through them. I mean, that one's fine, but I avoid that one a little bit because it kind of, the thing I was playing was a little bit too busy, and then Matt was kind of trying to follow me, and it just it went okay. I put it in some videos, but I've used less of it. You know, like I've used, I'll use little like 30-second clips of it.
Right. Yeah.
But there's
all that. that's kind of what I like felt when I was listening to it and trying to get a 3 minute clip. I was like, I kind of moved around back and forth. I got one that was like clean on kind of both ends and mostly through the middle.
Yeah.
And figured it was just like a meandering, you know, that's kind of what I wanted. So it was like, so that way I could play that way. If I like, cause I think each of those videos ended up being in like between 2:30 and 2:40, you know, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 40 seconds. So I wanted music that I didn't have to like have a good starting or stopping point. Mm-hmm. I could just like start it. Cause it was going to be just like meandering over the background of video clips. And, you know, I filmed myself through that whole process and I didn't really know how many videos it would take to get to the end. So I was like, I'll just keep making the parts until I have, you know, all the videos where somewhere between 2 minutes, 30 seconds and 3 minutes. So,
right.
But yeah, that's, that axe storage bin axe holder thing, like it actually turned out really well. I was really happy with it. And it was fun to like reclaim that weird bin thing that was in my shop when we moved in. Cause it was kind of a weird, like tall bin thing. Like, I don't know what it was held. Like, cause I think it was like 36 inches tall or maybe 40 inches tall or something. So, you know, unless it was holding rakes and shovels and stuff like that, you know, that kind of makes sense. But I don't know if that's what it was or if it was something else. But yeah, so it was good to like, I kind of had the thought to maybe use it, maybe like hang it up high in the ceiling, like just horizontal. And then I could just use that, you know, use it the way it was to just put axe handles and stuff in. Yeah. But then the more I like looked at it, I was, you know, when I was thinking about the thing to build in that space, because I was in the shop, I think I was working on the Diamond Eye double bit axe. And I like had the realization that all the buckets of axe handles and to be restored axes and heads and stuff were just like in the way, you know, like it got to the point where I was like, I want to reclaim that space, you know, to the left of the grinder bench. And I've already done that somewhat because I got all that big flat storage stuff that was there. I got that up, you know, and hung up in the, you know, up in the roof area above the garage door. Mm-hmm. But, and it just like hit me again. I was like, I really want to get rid of all that stuff, you know, all the rest of the flat stuff that's there and all those buckets. So I had that space and then I can like move, you know, maybe the bandsaw over there or the drill presses or something. Mm-hmm. And that then frees up the front. And then I can, you know, it's just like the next step of like organizing the shop. And sometimes it just takes some time before your brain says like, okay, this is the next step, right? And like, if I do this, then I can see where the rest of these things go. And that's like kind of what happened to me when I was in the shop. So I was like, okay, well, I want to do something with all these buckets of axe stuff.
Yeah.
And, and I had this space right to the left of the, of where the axe, like the usable axe storage is. And so I was like, oh, what if I just did something like kind of there, like, you know, and I had the thing, the idea of the bin, and I had like, maybe I could have something like standing up or whatever. And then I guess that kind of shape of the, almost that like horse feeding trough shape, you know, kind of leaning off from the wall, that kind of popped into my head. I was like, oh, I could do something like that. And then, yeah, shortly after that, I realized that the material on that old bin might be enough to make it. So yeah, it was cool. So I was like, okay, that'll be good. I can just like start the video, you know, and I just had the idea that I would just continue to film it in different, you know, all vertical orientation and just do some time lapse and some videoing. And I was going to, and I wanted to do a little bit longer clips and then just like, speed it up. Right. So it's like, you got to see a little bit more of the process, instead of just clips of transitions, which is typically what I do for reels, you know, to be like 3 or 4 seconds and just like a transition. So you see like the whole process, but it's really quickly. But this was like a little bit more on the format of like a Jimmy DiResta, where he's showing you a lot of everything. Mm-hmm. He just speeds it all up. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my mindset of just like setting up the camera and filming. And then, you know, sometimes it, like when I knew it would be a long and like the same thing, that's when I did like time lapse, when I did like putting all the axe handles and everything onto it at the end. You know, I set that up as a time lapse because I knew that was going to take me like 10 or 15 minutes. So I didn't have to like film that whole thing and then speed it up. I could just do a time lapse and do the same thing. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. And like, then as I, you know, like in the video, I said, like, as I was filling up the top part, I realized like, okay, one of these bins is going to fill up most of my axe handles, and I'll still have room for more. So instead of using both of them, I was like, well, I have all these other axes on handles that, you know, are like kind of loose on handles, or they're old handles or whatever. They have to be restored for one reason or another. So they have to go somewhere too. So I was like, well, I can put them on the bottom. And then, you know, part of the bottom is like axe handles that I've cut to remove the heads because I couldn't get them off. Mm. So like old handles that the tops have been cut, but like that wood I use for a bunch of different things. Like sometimes I'll use it for, dang, yeah, you good?
You heard that?
Yeah. You didn't mute it.
I did mute it.
No.
Wait.
No. You're not muted right now. No, you're not. No, you're not muted. Let me see. Okay. How about? Okay. Yeah, no, you're not muting on your end. I guess you're Oh. Weird. So, yeah, a little behind the inside baseball when, you know, what we're looking at on our screens in front of us is just a web page that has like the time, how long it's recording and stuff like that. And we can see each other and we can write notes back and forth. And Devin sent me an image of himself and like the mute button on and the red. And yeah, I can hear you the whole time. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, sorry guys, Devin's got a cough, which you all know now. Like right into the mic. Yeah, I don't know why it's not muting. Yeah. Yeah. You can try. I'll just timestamp, and then if for some reason we lose you and you got to come back, then we'll restart it, and then everyone listening will not know the difference. All right, 23:25. Yeah, this will all stay in the podcast if it all works well. But as I was saying to Devin, as he was coughing in all of our ears, once I had those handles in the bottom, like I use those handles that I cut off for other stuff like drifts and things, you know, like I will, you know, cut them and grind them in different shapes. And sometimes actually like smaller hatchets and stuff, I can use those handles or hammers. Like, so I use a lot of them for different things. So I have a selection of them, and those also lived in the bottom bin. And then I had the space above it. Oh, he's back.
That's test 1, 2. Hello. Yeah,
you're good. And we're still recording. All
right, I'm going to try to mute. Here we go.
Okay. Yes, I can. Yeah, I mean, you're not turning red. You know, your oval is not turning red.
I
am red on mine.
I guess it's a... That's very strange. Well, I will... maybe I can hear try this. Hang on. You ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Am I back? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything.
Did you get a click? A loud click?
Nope. Yeah, I mean, just the tiniest, like almost like this, like, but not even that loud, just more of like a...
Well, that's almost me just like sliding the mic off and on.
Oh, the little, yeah, the right.
Sliders, but that's such a crappy way to do
that
it.
That is annoying, but...
Oh, sorry.
That's so weird, yeah, I mean, we've never had ever had a problem with...
No, never.
With muting, but...
Okay.
And like I said, it's working for me for some reason.
Because it's saying in the chat, can you see it saying muted? And
no.
Because it's saying in the whole chat, you've muted yourself, you've unmuted yourself.
Weird. It must be something on my end. Because like occasionally, you know, so again, those of you who are listening, occasionally we'll start and it'll be like kind of weird. Or I will start the, I'll like open up Cast on my end, I'll send Devin a link and he'll try to come in and he's like, I'm here. And I'm like, well, I don't see you. And then I'll refresh and then sometimes it'll work. So it must be something on like the Cast end.
Do you want to try to fix and patch them together or no? Is that too much?
Nah.
All right. Well, I'll just, you just turn my struggle. Mic off once in a while.
You could also like, you know, turn around.
I know, but
I don't know how loud that is, but you know, yeah. It's all right. It is the reality of you know, the real sound of podcasting, especially when you're like doing it live with people. Oh yeah, that's something like you never think about all the live podcasts.
Do I?
Where it's like multiple people at the same
but
time.
But they have cough buttons. They have cough buttons.
Yeah, I know. But like you would think, like the person across from you, their mic is going to pick it up. I guess it
yes,
does.
It's just it so does, low. It's just not it bad. Doesn't. You just don't want to go into the mic like I did.
Yeah.
You know? Like but, people don't mind people coughing. It's,
yeah.
But it's right in your ear loud, you know, that's
right. Yeah. Nice. I know. I was thinking that, like thinking about listening to, you know, whatever talk radio, like 98 Rock in the morning. And sometimes you do hear them, like you'll hear someone laugh or someone like turn around and cough in the background, and, you know, and they're like, you know, it's just like very distant. You hear it and it doesn't bother you because you're like, oh, they obviously turned off their mic, but another mic in the room is picking them up. Yeah. So
I mean, it's literally called the cough button.
Right. Yeah.
It was made for a quick mute by the operator of whatever mic, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway.
But yeah, so I was continuing the information, the stuff about the axe handle bins. And so I was saying how I was putting all the axe handles that I cut off on the bottom because I use them for all sorts of different stuff, like, you know, handle drifts. I'll use them for hammerheads. I'll use them for like hatchet handles and stuff sometimes, depending on if they fit. So I have on the bottom bin, I have axes to be restored that are on handles, and then the handles that I've cut off of axes. Man, it's weird. So real quick, when I turned around to do that fake cough to hear how it would sound, I got a splinter on my foot somehow on my wood floor over here, and now it's annoying me. But so yeah, I had the two bins. There's kind of a space above it, but it's not like a super easy space to access. And so then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll do like another way to store some more axes up there because the handles can hang down. I can kind of grab them. But then I realized like it, along the same lines of trying to clean up all the buckets, I had like a bucket full of axe heads. Mm. So I was like, okay, well, I'll put up a couple 2x4s with nails in it. And so that fit perfectly into that space and I have enough room up there. So now I have three 2x4s tall of axe head hanging nails. So it actually works really well. And each one has 11 heads hanging from it. So I have 33 heads, and each of the restored axe storage, each one of those are 4 tall. Each one holds 10 axes. So it's like easy to to count what I got.
Nice.
So I have 40 axes on handles that are basically all 40 of those are ones that I can use. There are a few of them. I mean, there's also ones that I have that I've been like, given to me, you know, so they're ones I don't use as much. And then I have the 33 axe heads hanging up that are all to be restored. And then the ones in the bottom bin aren't easily counted. So, but that's like another, I don't know, 15 or 20 or so axes. So, pretty good collection. And it's funny because, you know, we've talked about this many times, but, you know, most of those are ones that I've collected and used and found, and I just love doing axe work. So I, you know, keep them to do that, and then either, like, I have them and I fix them up when I'm ready to use one. Oh, you hit the mute.
I hit the mute.
So they're either like, you know, ones that I want to use, so I'll like buy them and restore them, or, you know, they're ones that I know are good, like something that I could give away to somebody, you know, if I do an exchange, or
I give away one every 3 years.
I did have a guy reach out to me, a buddy of mine from grad school reached out to me about getting an axe for a friend of his. So I got a commission, so I'll be doing that. He said like close, like sometime spring and summer, but he was checking to see, and I asked him like what type of cutting his friend was doing, whether it was chopping or felling or whatnot. So he says mostly doing chopping. So I was like, cool, I'll keep an eye out for a, you know, good splitting axe either in my collection or, you know, while I'm out and about. And then I will,
what do you charge for that?
Hang on for. So I, over the years, I've done a few different things, some hatchets, some axes and stuff, and I try to be close to like what market value is for kind of either a medium priced Etsy axe or a nicer, newer axe. And also depending on what I'm doing, like if I'm just like sharpening up an axe that's already on a handle, then it might be less. But sure. For that, since it'll be, you know, a new handle, a new head restored and sharpened and then modified and whatever out. So I kind of double checked like what made sense with like kind of an average market price, and $150 was what I came up with. Yeah. And he was happy with that, and I'm happy with that, you know. So
yeah, actually, I mean, it's really such a, no matter what you charge, it's never going to be, you're not making a lot of money no matter what. And there is a limit to what, you know, you can actually charge a real human being.
Right.
Unless you're Mr. Super Axe Man, everyone knows who you are, then you can charge more if you want it. But it's like,
right,
if it was really worth my time, like a couple days work, you know, you'd want like $500. You know, you think of like how much you'd make at a job, you know, like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you kind of just enough to give you a little cash and to pay for whatever you're doing.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it's like if you wanted to buy a good quality axe, you know, you're paying probably around somewhere between $100 and $200 for a good quality, kind of moderate, you know, medium price for the market. Like, obviously, if you get like a... like a Liam Hoffman, you know, like a custom axe from a, you know, blacksmith, you're going to pay upwards of $500, $600, $700. If you're, you know, and then if you're getting like, you know, a fancier axe, you could pay $200 to $300 to $400, even from something like, you know, somewhere like Council Tool or Grants Force Brooks, right. You know, so you're getting like a high end axe, but it's not necessarily from like individual maker, but it's done in a different way. Right. And then, you know, in the like custom axe community, you're going to pay anywhere from like, if you just go to Etsy, you'll see that it's like, you could pay $50 for an axe, or you could pay $400 for an axe, right. You know? So I was kind of looking at that, and there's also like you got to take into account like the, you know, the expertise, right? I've spent like hundreds of hours restoring axes and, you know, honing my skill. So
yeah,
it's your like paying for that. So you're paying for all that time and effort and all the tools I have, and you know.
Yeah, right.
And you're so
someone who has an eye for it, knows what to look for, knows will set you up with something.
Right. But I also like I'm not making my living that way, you know. Right. So like right. if someone has like enough desire and they, you know, they're like, oh, I don't make them and sell them on Etsy. So it's not like my living. I'm not doing all the time. Mm-hmm. So if someone is, you know, bold enough and also complimentary enough to reach out to be like, hey, I'd like to get one of your axes. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, I still, I don't want to undervalue myself, but I also, you know, I'm happy with that amount. Yeah. And I think that's a moderate amount. It's like, I think it's probably on the low end of what you would pay for a custom made restored, you know, vintage axe. So,
right.
And I'm okay with that. You know, like I was like, well, I think 100 feels too little. And I feel like if I say 200, it feels like I'm asking too much, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, for the regular person, maybe it should just be a, I do $200 axes. If you want one, I'll send you one. Like, that's all the information you give, and that's all they get.
Right.
And, like, they don't even... Maybe they could request a pattern or a style, right. You know? Yeah. Hey, I like these axes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. And also, like you know, not that, like, you should... Not, as an artisan, you shouldn't... Your friend shouldn't ask you or expect to pay any less than you would charge anyone.
Right.
But, you know, this is a friend of mine who reached out to me.
It's a little
so bit I'm like, a little bit so I also too. Gave him a little bit of the friend price, you know, like, so there's that too, which is why, like, which why I try not to put that information out in the world just because, you know, then everybody wants that price, but that's fine too. I don't know.
Be like, I mean, yeah. That's
hey, I heard saying, you charge right? $150 for a custom axe.
Like, no,
but like I was, not anymore.
Yeah, it depends on.
I was actually, I was watching a video from the Ethical Axe, which is the I don't know the guy's name, but he's an Instagram axe guy. Also does YouTube videos, and he just put out a video about like, you know, is $600 too expensive for an axe? And he was talking about actually the Buck and Billy Ray wood bullet that Liam Hoffman makes for Buckin. And yeah, they're like $600. And you know, it's like basically that whole thing, right? It's like you're paying for someone's time and expertise, you know, and all this. And like, you don't have to use that axe, right? You also don't have, like, you could take the time and go find an axe and put it on a handle and use it. You know, like you could put the time and effort into it if you don't want to pay someone else to do it. It's what your money's worth. You know, it's like, you don't mean it, like if you just want an axe that's going to split wood, you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get an axe and it'll split wood fine. You know, and that's fine. You can do that. You know, you may pay $40 or $50 or $60, you know, but like, If you enjoy the customization and you like the fact that people do it and you like having something that's a little bit more special, then your money is where, you know, what you're willing to spend. And, you know, right. I think there's a fairly wide range of what you can spend depending on what your budget is.
Right. So. Hang on.
Oh, I used the mic button. I mean, the mute button that time. Good job.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say, if you are looking at something like that and even thinking about it, yes, you are probably the person who should and can spend that money on an axe.
Right.
This is all there is to it. Like, if you're debating over it, you know what I mean? Then you are already in that category. Me, as not an axe junkie, who has one axe or two.
Right.
You know, one from you was given to me, and then one... I don't know if I have something else. Just
in you have the Flying Fox from Brandon at Whiskey River, right? You got one of those?
No.
Did I give you one?
No.
Did I not give you one? Okay.
Damn. You never gave it to me?
I thought I did because I'm pretty sure I don't have it. So I think you have it.
No.
So Brandon sent me a straight handled one, which I think it's on a 16 or 18.
No, I only got the one you sent me in the shed.
The one I made for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then it's probably at your house somewhere. Either that or it's it's in my stash somewhere. But I just went through all of them, and I'm pretty sure I don't have it. But if I do, I'll give it to you, because I have two Flying Fox hatchets.
But,
yeah, for you, like, that's fine.
Yeah, I would never even think about it. I understand mm-hmm. people spend a lot of money on a lot of things. A lot of
right,
things,
exactly.
You know, and some things aren't metal and steel.
Yeah.
You know, some things are plastic or something stupid or art or whatever, you know, whatever. Just do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's its own value to you, right? Like, doesn't matter what you pay for something. My thought on that is always this. It was like, okay, as an artist, right, how do you charge for your artwork? You figure out whatever you're going to charge and you charge it. And if someone buys it from you and they take it and they're really happy about it, they've paid you, they walk out of wherever you are, say you're in a studio, they walk out of the studio and on the street, someone sees that painting and offers to buy that painting from them for the price that they just paid you to get it, there's zero chance they'd sell it, right? Because it's no longer worth that. It's worth way more than that to them, you know? It's like you'd have to double your money, you know? Right. Like if I bought a painting for $500 and then like took it outside and someone's like, oh, that's a cool painting, I'll give you $500 for it. Like, no. Like I literally just got it for that price because I wanted it. So it's already worth more than that to me, you know?
Right. I don't think there is no... moral issues, I think, for someone trying to sell something for whatever they want to sell it for, because people who need the money cannot buy it no matter what.
Right.
A person who is a normal human being will never buy $1 million painting or mm-hmm. piece of modern art, mm-hmm. even though they are out there.
Or a $15,000 guitar.
Or you're not in the market. So, yes, it's ridiculous to you, but you will never even have the chance to mess with it. Like,
right.
You know, some crazy thing, you know, it just is what it is. So I wouldn't worry yourself over it.
Yeah.
Now maybe morally, if it's like kids' toys, then you're starting to really, maybe, you know, like video game systems shouldn't cost $2,000.
Right. Right.
You know, 'cause you're really like, The kids can't.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. UVO.com.
You know.
Yeah, right. It's not the kids, it's the parents.
Yeah. Right, you know. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, like, phones have gotten too expensive, really, but now everyone just pays monthly, and I mean, that's a racket, but...
Yeah, it's crazy.
But no, I don't. I mean, me personally, that's too much money for an axe, but that's just me personally. Like, who cares? I also think... I don't think of less of you for charging it. That's what I'll say. I don't want it for that price, but I don't think less of you for making a $600 axe.
Right.
It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Right.
And you know, I'll go into the store and say that's too much or that's not enough. Now, it's a little different if it's some big company, you know, that then you know they're making...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will bitch about going to the movies and paying $14 for popcorn.
Yeah, right.
Because I know it costs them literally probably 25 cents or 50 cents worth of popcorn. You know, it's that type of thing. You're just like...
Probably even less than that,
too. Now, you know, it's just like, that's just horrible. Yeah. Then you go, this is just wrong. Yeah. And you wonder why people aren't going to the movies anymore. Like,
right. Yeah. And like, speaking of people not doing stuff anymore... what is it, the Xennials or whatever, the current, like, 20-somethings aren't going out. Yeah. They're not drinking as much.
Yeah, right, right. They're just, I mean, because they got everything at home.
Yeah.
They don't have to go out for anything, really.
Yeah, Brewer's Art just closed. Did you hear that?
I know, I saw that.
Yep. So Brewer's Art is this awesome bar in, what's it called?
Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon, the Mount Vernon area of Baltimore. It's this really awesome bar. They brew their own beer. So it's a micro brew, but it's been around for 30 years. So it's
great
like
beer.
One of the original ones, really good beer. And they have a cool, like it's a 2-story bar and restaurant. The basement is, like kind of a stony dungeon type thing called a Brackskeller, which is like an underground bar. And then the second floor is like, they always had art shows and stuff up at the same time. But Nicole and I just went, my wife and I just went for New Year's, went to Brewer's Art. And then just the other day, they basically just put a little paper sign up on their door that was like, we're permanently closed. And I was reading that the owner basically like just sent out a text to all his employees and was like, we're not making any money and it's no longer responsible for me to like, you know, keep this place open. You know, don't come into work. And I don't know if he said, like, you're not going to get paid, but basically it's like, I can't pay anyone.
Yeah, no.
Like,
yeah,
for your last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not paying you. It's like, okay, well, you're going to get sued then.
Right, exactly. Like, okay, yeah, you're not making any money, but, like, you're still making some money. You still have to pay out your customers. Yeah, I mean, your employees for what they worked.
Right.
Like,
it seems that's such a weird thing to do. There must have been some serious trouble happened, right. You know, where the person's like, well, I'm just running now. I'm out of here. Like,
I know. I'm tempted to go around to all the liquor stores and stuff and buy some Resurrection before it's gone. Shit. Resurrection is their their best beer.
And I wonder if we can buy them and take them to Maker Camp, even though you're supposed to buy Tall Boys.
Yeah.
I'd rather have 6 Resurrections than any 4 Tall Boys, I'll tell you that much.
I'd rather have 4 Resurrections than any 4 Tall Boys. Right. You know, it's like still good beer, you know.
No, it's one of my favorites of all time.
So good. Yeah, me too.
I got such good memories of going there and like for the happy hour.
Yep.
Wasn't it only was like $2 or $3 a beer?
Yeah, I think it was
$2, maybe $2.50.
It was cheap, right? Because it was like half price beers, and so it might have been like $4. Even still, like that's nothing. Even back,
I think back then, because back then it was like 5 or 6 normally.
Oh, so
which was kind of a normal price back then. Like $5 was okay. $5 craft beer.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
but then so it was. I think it was 4 to 7.
I think it was half off, so it was $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told, you might be right. I had the first date with my wife there.
Oh, did you really? That's awesome.
Yeah. I was making jokes. I was like, I also took a couple other girls there that didn't stick. But it was such a cool little spot.
Yeah.
So it was like real kind of a cool spot. It looked almost hidden, you know, the way you got in through the basement. And the greatest beers, and they were like strong. So, you know, I wasn't trying to do anything. Yeah. But you have one of those right away, the conversation would get flowing.
Yeah.
Because what are they, like 7% or something? Yeah, so it's just like...
Exactly.
You got this really nice, cool, interesting bar, and then you could go up to the Owl Bar, or you could go up to the top, that one...
the 13th floor.
13th floor bar, and get a view of the city. Like, it was a great... Everything was right there, and you kind of just...
Yeah, Mount Vernon is
like,
great,
if you didn't make it to the next part, you know, you just, like... It depended on how far it wanted to go. Like, how well is the date going? You had a couple other spots I would go to, like, hey, let's go. I got a cool place. And then you'd, like, go to the Owl Bar because, you know, it's right in the lobby.
Yeah, Owl Bar's awesome. Yeah, right.
And then if you're really having fun and having a good time, and then you surprise them, you hit them with the elevator. Because that's all, you know, it doesn't really have a sign, remember? Those gold elevators.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you just go, punch it. And then you open up to a restaurant bar up top.
Yeah, 13th floor.
Very impressive. Awesome.
Like those are that was my go-to.
Those are like the 3 coolest bars to go to all at once. Yeah, Resurrection was great.
Yeah.
And they all have great vibes. And then Owl Bar's, you know, one of the oldest bars around and very old school kind of speakeasy-ish. Yeah. And then you go up to a rooftop bar with a view of the city.
It's great. And there are like so many great restaurants and all there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so when I was at Micah, like it was like one of the top places to show paintings. Like their wait list for their show was like years long.
Yeah.
Like you had to like show them your artwork and then basically apply for a spot, you know, and they would like choose you or not. And then you'd be put on the list and like you'd eventually get your show, but they had like solo shows where you could show like, you know, depending on the size of your paintings, you know, if you had an average size, say like 15 by 20 or whatever, 18 by 24 painting, you could show like 10 paintings. You know, and it'd all be up around, and they had openings, and yeah, so it was like, it was great, because I remember when I first started hearing about Brewer's Art, it was on the art show side rather than the bar and restaurant side, just because it was like in my, you know, people talked about it when I was in Micah. So I always actually, I associated Brewer's Art with the art. Like, yeah, it was, yeah, like a Brewer's Art gallery. You know, that's, yeah, in my mind. It was Brewer's Art, as in the paintings.
But not a Brewer's Art.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, the beer is the Brewer's Art. That's, yeah, what they're, I'm sure, like,
a little
producing.
It's a mix of both, kind of like the, yeah, art of craftsmanship.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then Nicole and I just went there from New Year's Eve, which was fun, but it was also like a little eye-opening because there was no one there. And the downstairs bar closed at like 8 o'clock. Huh, and there were like 20 of us there. You know, so I was like, man, that's crazy.
But, on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve. We went for New Year's Eve.
So that the downstairs was impacted at all?
Nope. No, Nicole and I got there at like around 8 o'clock, maybe 7:55 or something like that. And we were like, you know, going to grab a table in the basement and get some, you know, like get some their awesome
fries.
But rosemary fries. And they were like, actually, we're closing up here at 8 o'clock. We're like, really? They're like, yeah. We don't have any bartenders for tonight, so we're closing the bar. But the upstairs will be open until midnight. I'm like, okay. Damn. But, yeah, I know. It's crazy. And then we went upstairs, and which was fine. It was like, it was nice for, you know, two 40-year-old people for New Year's Eve because it was, like, kind of quiet. And, you know, there were still enough people around to be, like, it was an active space, but it wasn't, like, packed. You know, it wasn't like, yeah, you're going out to the bar for New Year's Eve where any place you go is usually going to be packed.
But I know. And then people end up at shitty whatever bars. And
yeah.
But it's a different vibe. And, yeah, like you said, young people just aren't doing it as much.
Right.
And, you know, I don't blame everything's so expensive too, like,
yeah, right, exactly,
so
yeah,
it's fair enough, like,
yeah,
not that, you know, they won't spend dumb money on stuff, you know, ordering things off apps, ordering McDonald's, right, that by the time it comes to you costs $35, like,
yeah, right, exactly,
yeah, I don't know. All right, so yeah, what else? Oh, I was gonna say Night of the State at Seven Kingdoms is great. The making, oh, yeah, of, I'll do a early recommendation, the making of is called The Making of a Night. And they did the first episode, which was like 17 minutes long or 15 minutes long. Really great. All about how they built this, like, jousting village town. Like, you know, kind of the whole thing set around this, like, coming together of everyone for this tournament. Mm-hmm. But it's great to see them. I think they shot in Ireland.
Oh, nice.
So it's like in Ireland on some estate backwoods. And they built a full, you know, they built a real bridge and a real jousting grounds and all these great huge tents. And, like, it looks like, you know, a Renaissance festival type of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is another great part of the show. You know, you can tell that it's all just there in camera, you know, really cool. Just like I said before, one of the, I want to go there. I'd love to walk around and, you know, like, peek in the tents. But so good. And then quick TV talk was that. And then Olympics start tomorrow. So
yeah,
that'll be fun.
Tomorrow is a professional development day for Baltimore City schools. So there's no schools for students. Then we have systemic professional developments, which basically means like each different department gets together, but not like at your school, but like the whole, like, all the art department across Baltimore City, they all do, you know, whatever, PE together. All the science department all does PD together. So you go to, like, your content areas, and they're always at, like, different buildings. So there's, like, a place at Baltimore City Community College that we usually do ours for CTE, which is Career Technology Education for Architecture. So all the CTE people get together and do it there. And yesterday afternoon, we got an email from Baltimore City headquarters saying that all the PDs have been switched from in-person to virtual. And I think it's because this downtown is still a mess.
Yeah.
There was, like, nowhere to park. It was, like, because all the snow is just still piled up everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think they were, like, having, you know, basically assessing how far they could get, like, what parking is like. And it's just horrible. So
yeah.
They made it virtual, and I was like, oh, because the The opening ceremonies for the Olympics are actually at 2 o'clock tomorrow because of, like, you know, right, the time difference mm-hmm. between Italy and here. And I was like, man, they're going to do the opening ceremonies at 2 o'clock. I was like, that sucks. Like, everyone's working in the middle of the day. And, but then I got a email today from the person who is running my PD and sent, like, she sent the agenda out for the virtual learning PD. And, like, there's the, you know, Baltimore City CEO, like, entry thing in the beginning. And then we all do our stuff. And according to the agenda, we're all done by like 12:30. So I was like, it went from like a whole day PD where I'd been like morning and afternoon sessions to like, as of now. So I don't know if that's like we have something else we're supposed to do in the afternoon or if that's just it. But so as of now, I'll have tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I can actually watch it at like when it's live.
It's live. Yeah, like
on live, which will be kind of cool. Although they are obviously they're showing it again at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So
yeah,
that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'll let the kids watch it and
yeah, just
have it on tomorrow night. I mean, hopefully it has a replay option before the 8 o'clock one because that's too late for the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully I'll start it probably as soon as it ends, honestly. If it starts at 2, it's probably going to end at like dinner time.
Four, you have like five o'clock, right.
So,
yeah.
No, that'll be fun. Just, yeah.
Nice.
A few TV things. But yeah.
Yeah, I love the Olympics. It's so much fun to watch. And, you know, I wish they just rebroadcasted everything on like YouTube or something, you know, because there's so many cool events that I'd love to watch. And they're all filmed. And there are some places you got to find, like, you know, they'll be doing like curling on whatever, you know, like some random channel on whatever that you have.
I will say the last few ones have had good. I know your internet has always been a little funky, so maybe you can do better now, but it. Like the apps on the TV apps and you know have been pretty good, where it's like watch you get the Peacock app just for this and you can go to like the Olympic zone and then it just shows you all the things going on and it usually will let you see them even if
choose,
so. I don't know if I paid some for last time. Maybe I did. You know, whatever. I'll pay the $10 for the couple weeks of it.
Yeah, I forget. I guess during the Summer Olympics 2 years ago, there was a decent amount of sailing on that I was watching, which I was like, you know, I've never seen sailing on any of the live TVs in the past. But it was like on, you know, exactly. It was like the list of channels, and I just like scrolling through, and I was like, yeah, sailing, that's awesome. And it's like, it's cool too, because I watch enough sailing on YouTube and stuff that there are all these professional sailors that are also Olympic sailors. Like they all basically, they just all sail in all these different size boats and stuff and different competitions and stuff. So like, it was cool to see some of the people that I know from the more widely broadcasted sailing stuff, like SailGP, on like in Olympic sailing, like the Spanish team had like the Spanish helmsman from SailGP that's on YouTube live every, you know, whatever month or so. So it was like, it was cool to see that too. I was like, oh, these same people, you know, there are people that I know and that I watch and follow and stuff. So, but those are like, yeah, those more hidden sports. Like you're probably not going to see, I don't know, like the decathlon or something, you know.
Right, the really long ones that are, three hours long.
Yeah, like that's usually not broadcasted, but it is cool that there's so many, there are more avenues to watch.
They've got this new one, like, I don't know if it's called mountaineering or something. Mm. It's like uphill skiing, and then it gets to a slope that is so steep that it has steps, so you pop your skis off. No, at first you go up, and then you have to, like, walk ski, and then you pop off and run up the steps.
Oh, crazy.
And then you do something else, and then you pop your skis back on and go back down the hill. So it's like doing a ski slope, but you have to, you know, you have to hike up it as far as you can, and then you run up steps, and then you ski down. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, I've always loved the like different winter, like the Nordic sports, you know, like the ski and shoot. Like that's so cool. That's so specific.
Yeah,
you know, like cross country ski for 2 kilometers and then you shoot, and then you do another 2 kilometers and then you shoot again, and then like that's cool.
Yeah, I think I like winter Olympics best.
Yeah,
because you know you do summer. It just ends up coming down to a lot of swimming.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of gymnastics.
Why don't we cut that down a little bit? Why do we need 500 swimming events.
I know.
Like, come on, we got to have one at every. You're like, come on. And running's the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess you got to fill some spots. But
yeah, right, speed.
But winter is great. You get these great great downhill runs. You get these bobsled stuff. You get hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
you also get the X-Cross stuff, too, which is like the...
Right, all the snowboard stuff is awesome. Like watching Shaun White for years was so much fun.
Right, yeah, snowboarding, yeah, right.
Because it's so... it's great sports to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, they only get three runs, and can they hit it? Like, you know, and they fill you in what they're trying to hit, what they need to do, you know, and you're like on the edge of your seat to see if they can put together one, like, perfect run.
It's great. I love listening to the announcers. Like, they know all the tricks and why they're different. You know, like, that's a 720 backside corkscrew, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, how do you know that one different from the one that's, like, the 1080? Like, did you really see that, like, half turn more? Like, like watching these guys spin super fast and do, like... Right. Multiple tail grabs and backflips and stuff. I'm like, oh, I got it. Like, really? Looks like the 360 to me.
I love those stories, but I do hate the corny ones when it's, you know, they're trying to just tug on your heartstrings. Like, come on. Like, the one guy did lose. Now, I will say he's a figure skater. He lost both of his parents in that the DC plane crash. The one that hit the helicopter?
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. But then they're doing that story on him, and he's like, they're kind of pushing the angle like he's doing it for them, and they're with him, and which is nice and true, I understand, but, like, what are you going to say if he loses? Like, they weren't with him? Like,
right, exactly.
They weren't helping him out?
I guess they abandoned him.
Yeah, I guess they didn't care enough to help him win. Yeah. You know, it's like, stop, don't. I mean, you got to cover that story, obviously, but it's almost so tragic that it's like, you don't have to, like,
don't focus on it so much.
Yeah, not take advantage, but, like, overjuice that lemon. Like, come on, leave it be. Like, come on, like every interview is going to be about that. Did you feel your parents with? I'm trying to land spins. Right, I mean, yes, both my parents are dead. Thank you for bringing it up again. Let me focus on. I mean, I mean, it's nice that he actually made you know, into the Olympics after they died. So that was nice for him to make it. You know, they're all trying so hard, going through so much competition and make it there. But you just stop harping on the sad stuff.
Right, and let it be part of, like, how you build them up on the viewership side. You know, like, you don't have to, like, interview that person about it, so then you're talking to them about it. But you can, like, bring it up, like, here's the backstory. This is why we're rooting for this guy.
Right,
like,
it's
the feel-good story. Yeah. But
then I don't need a sob story or a...
Right.
or a redemption story. And, you know, and then some of them are also, they're, like, 16-year-old kids. Like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, you've been trying for so long. Like, yeah, I know. Last Olympics, you were like 4.
Yeah. <it's> like, yeah.
You haven't done anything. You're some rich kid learning how to, like, figure skate. Like, relax.
And did you hear about what Lindsey Vonn, like, got an accident, tore her ACL? But she's, like, gonna still compete. Like, I was listening to the radio the other morning, and they had, like, a soundbite of her being like, yeah, it was rough. And I'm, like, going through physical therapy, and we're working really hard, but I feel strong, and I'm going to go out. I'm like, you just tore your ACL, like, 2 weeks ago. You're going to go out and ski on it? It's crazy.
But I was talking to Caitlin about it. She was like, well, you know, you're going to fix it either way. You know, a torn or whatever. It's not like it's something that you can't put weight on. You can. Right. It's going to need a surgery. Mm. And she was like, it depends, like, you know, how desperate is she to get it in? I was like, well, she's like 41. So this is her last Olympics.
Yeah.
She will not be 45 doing this. No. Unless maybe she, but it's, so you kind of, you got to go for it. And if you literally can stand.
Yeah.
Then you go, well, you know, screw it. This is my last one.
Right,
exactly. If I'm going to have a surgery anyway, I don't think it's one of those things that you're just going to make everything worse. Like, it's like you're going to have to get it totally fixed anyway. So it's like, maybe just go ahead. And I saw her today, like, lifting weights and standing on it. So,
yeah,
if she physically can do that,
right,
and it's just pain, it's just hurting, then
right,
I mean, exactly. Good for her.
Yeah, and there's enough, like, you know, professional trainers around, as well as she's a professional athlete and has been doing it for so long.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
yeah.
There's no, like, in my mind, it was like, oh, well, if she says she can do it, then she can do it. Like,
right.
if there was any reason why she couldn't do it, like, if it was an injury so bad that she couldn't go, she wouldn't go. You know, it's like,
right. Yeah,
that it is what it is. Like, if you can't ski on it, you can't ski on it. There's not, like, it's not like you're just going to, like, compete through the pain. You know, of course you'll have some pain, but, like, you're not competing at Olympic level when your leg is in severe pain. No, you know, it's like you don't go on that.
Right.
Like, you go on, like, yeah, it's going to suck tomorrow because it's going to be really sore, but I can be top of my game today.
Yeah.
You know.
But so, anyway, good luck to him. But, yeah, it's pretty nuts. So, good luck to only the Americans. Everyone else can go suck an egg.
I always love seeing the medal count. You know, it's like China's got a lot of golds in the Summer Olympics, and we have gold, silver, bronze. Like U.S.
I will say Canada beat us.
Oh, I know.
Both last time, and that was a tough one.
Yeah.
And then what was it like the world competitions? Where they were booing during the anthem and stuff, and then they had the fight right away. Remember, did you see that highlight?
I know,
last competition, right? They were booing, and within 3 seconds, they were swinging. I said, good for them. Come here to your place, and you can disrespect us over, I don't know, whatever bullshit you're trying to boo over. Like it's those hockey players' fault that something happened to, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Stop. Don't be shitty people because of that.
Yeah, it's different when it's like, you know, Germany in the 30s didn't, like, we're banned from the Olympics, right? Because it's like Hitler and, like,
genocide. I mean, but, it's different. It's one of those things. It's just you don't boo someone else, someone else's anthem when they're a guest at your place.
Right, exactly.
Show
some class, you know? Right. Like,
so that was, so it'd be great to kick their butts.
Heck yeah.
And everything. Awesome. You know, that's all they have, so I would love to take that from them.
Yeah, that was fun to watch last time because it was like, it was a good match at the very end.
And,
like,
I know, it was a tough.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, but it was like, I'd rather have, like, Canada win than, you know, like, Yugoslavia or something.
Well, I'm the opposite now, though. I want them really, really crash and burn.
I meant last time. Like, last time I was okay with it. You know? It was like a two North American countries, like, you know, like, bashing it out. Like, it was fun. And we had a lot of, like, you know, NHL players, like, on their side as well.
Sure,
like,
right.
But now that's a great redemption story. It's like, you got us last time, and now we got to come back. Take it back.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. So, anyway.
Heck yeah.
Next week, we'll do a little Olympic news.
And we're going to have a guest on. Next week.
Yeah, so I guess it won't even be next. Yeah. 2 weeks.
Maybe we'll talk about it with her. See what, you know.
It'll be, yeah.
We'll see what's going on because I'm sure our guest from next week will also probably be watching because that's what we all do. Everyone loves the Olympics. That's the great thing about the Olympics. It's like, it's the world event. It's everyone. Yeah.
But it's I don't know if everyone likes it, though. Some people don't care. Weirdos.
Weirdos. It's so at dinner sometimes we will watch episodes of Seinfeld. And we were watching an episode of Seinfeld tonight, a little last snippet. And it was the episode
Sickies. Where
it wasn't that one, but that's why I thought about it. Weirdos. No, it's episode where Kramer has the dog cough and George, like, he doesn't get this apartment because the guy who they gave it to as, like, a more tragic story than him. Yeah. And then Elaine has the big head.
Andrew Doria.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So it's like this great episode that has tons of the quotes that we all use all the time. It's like the, lady, could you move your head? You're blocking my little more. Thank you. And then, what was it? Newman is, he's like not delivering the mail because he didn't get his like transfer to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So Jerry takes right. over and delivers yeah, for him. Oh, so good. It's such a good episode. But there are all these quotes in it that were like ones that we all use all the time. A little more. Thank you. And yeah, the big hand. Hey, lady, dang, that bird flew right, like right in your head. Like I couldn't avoid it.
Couldn't avoid it. Never seen you got a big head. Your head's too big for your body.
He's like, yeah, you know. And then later, like, he's like, well, you got a big head, you know. He's like, you also have a bump in your nose. She's like, what did you say? so good. I love it. I love like, you know, it's funny when. You know, Kryn's watched a lot of Seinfeld at this point, but we'll come across an episode where a quote will come up that she's heard her entire life because it's just like a right. quote that we use all the time, either from you or any of the brothers or Nicole or I, or even Kate and Sean. Like we all, like all of us, we all love Seinfeld. So she'll be like, oh, that's where that's from. Right. And I was said, it was like a little more. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So my recommendation this week, so you're good. Your recommendation's The Making Of.
Yeah, it's called, you have to search it out.
The Making Of a Night.
Because now they have like a podcast on there and then they have all types of stuff. But the one, it's yeah, The Making Of a Night.
So is that only on Max right now? On mm-hmm. yeah. HBO? Okay. Yeah.
Actually, it might be on YouTube.
Right, yeah, because the making of portions might be. Yeah. Although I don't necessarily, I don't want to watch that yet, but like I'm interested.
No, you
in it,
no, watch yeah, watch wait. Each episode yeah. first at least, yeah. and then, yeah,
yeah, it looks cool. Like I've seen a lot of clips on Instagram and YouTube or whatever of like the crossover between the Game of Thrones and the Night of the Seven Kingdoms and how they yeah. like reference stuff occasionally. You know,
yeah,
like, they reference people who are in the show Night of the Seven Kingdoms. You know, when they made the references to them from Game of Thrones, which is right, fun.
Yeah,
you know?
It's great. 3 episodes in, it's so good. Okay. So,
yeah, I'm not surprised, right? You know, that like that whole you know world is great. They really put a lot of money and effort into making those stories really good and making the visuals
and,
great.
And they found that, I mean, the guy for the night, Dunk, or Sir yeah. Duncan, mm-hmm. he's so likable and so great. And the kid is really good, too.
Yeah,
so, nice. So it's I mean, just great.
Sweet.
It's good stuff.
Well, my recommendation is something completely different from that. So the other morning, this is probably like last Wednesday or something, or Thursday, I'm not sure. It was maybe last Wednesday. So I'm laying in bed. I wake up, and it's like 5:15 or 5:20, mm-hmm. and I got to go to the bathroom. So I like, okay, so I get up, and I go to the bathroom, and I hear outside of my house, I hear snow plow trucks, like plowing snow. At like 5:20 in the morning. I'm like, that's weird. Like who's plowing? And I hear him in the parking lot next to my house. I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind of crazy. And so like I look out the window and there's like a big plow truck that's sitting across the road parked. And as I'm looking out the window, a bucket loader, a full size tractor bucket loader comes like driving down the street with a full load of snow in its bucket. And then comes into the parking lot next to me and drops his bucket and then pushes like plowing the parking lot next to me, pushes more snow up and then puts it into a giant pile. Hmm. I'm like, they're plowing at 5:20 in the morning. Like what the heck? And then that tractor like turns around and leaves. And like, there's another one that comes in right behind it. So they must have been clearing snow from somewhere else, and they're like kind of using the parking lot as a whatever thing. So I'm laying in bed, and I'm trying to go back to bed, and then I'm like trying to fall asleep, but I couldn't really fall asleep. And so I like pull up my phone, and I'm kind of scrolling, and on Instagram I come across a video from Katie Evans, like. So her last name is, I think it's Evan-Slyke. So Katie Evan-Slyke. And she is they run a farm and they have thoroughbred horses and they have cows and they have some goats and stuff. But they breed thoroughbred horses. And I was watching and like, the first one I saw was there's a mare who's like 340 or 350 days pregnant. So they're like right around the due date. Like, you know, it was a day before their like technical due date. Like if she went past that, she'd be overdue. Yeah. And so this woman, Katie Evans, like does daily updates on all of her mares that are pregnant and like, you know, like foal watch, you know, like today, this is like what they are. This is like how big around their belly is. This is where all their, like the udders look like and whatnot. And she like checks them in. So, and the, again, this is our classic, udders? Like udders, teats, you know, like their, you know, their milk, their breasts. Udder, right? They have cows have udders. Like,
oh, it's a cow. I thought you said a horse.
No, it's a horse. Yeah, I think horses also have udders. Horses
don't have udders.
Well, I mean, it's like where their babies are feeding from.
Yeah,
they're small, you know, udders,
they're
right?
Not
small
udders. Would you say your wife has udders just because she has a baby attached to it?
Maybe. What's the difference?
Well, one's not an udder hanging below a cow.
Yeah.
What's the
difference between that same thing hanging between for like a dog or any mammal?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
called udders. I think it's just like a cow. You don't call it's just
breasts.
You
don't, I don't think so. I think I remember. I feel like she was referencing them as udders or nipples or whatever. But
what's the quote from
your wife? I don't know. You don't call them.
I've got nipple fuckers.
Nipples? Could you milk me?
Can you milk me? Do you call horses? But, no, you can't.
I don't
go
know.
Ahead. Sorry, maybe. Go ahead. I'll do some research. Continue.
Yeah. So, right. So she's. So I like started. I realized that. Like I went back in her Instagram reels, and every day she does these updates. So it's like, so for like 2 hours, from like 5:30 to like 7:30. When I got out of bed, I was just watching like reels of all these updates on the different mares that she has and like who's going to give birth. And it was like, and it was recent, right? Cause there was a lot, she was talking a lot about this storm that was coming, like the same ice storm that we had. And so I went back like 4 or 5 days before the storm and they had these mini Highland cows. So you got like the Highland cows, which are the big, giant, fluffy cows, and they have like 7 or 8 mini Highland cows, and so they were like debating bringing them in from the fields, and they were like, they can absolutely be outside during this ice storm, like that's fine, that's what they're bred for, to be outside in the cold, but she was more worried about them being underneath trees that might get iced and like branches fall and break, and then that and or cars coming down the road sliding and going through their fences and then leaving like empty holes in their paddocks and stuff or whatever, holes in the fences, so the cows could get out. So she brought the cows, the mini Highland cows, into their big barn, and it's their barn that they do this like indoor paddock where the horses can run around, but they had already brought in all of the normal cows into the barn as well. So they have this like smaller fenced in area for the mini Highland cows that are in with the big, you know, black cows, like full size cows. And they're all inside this barn. And then they have all the horses like in their barn, and they're all getting antsy and stuff. And she's like updating them all. So then eventually the one horse that was like, the mare that was the most pregnant, her name was Raven. She's a black thoroughbred mare. She gave birth on January 31st at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, and this is like the first time they've never had any other horses like full before, you know, like, you know, usually they're in January, like early in January, but like this is all the way to the end of January. And she's like, man, we might not have our first foal until February. So, but it's just kind of fun. It's fun to like keep, you know, it's like all these characters in the story that you're like keeping up to date on. And I just had the benefit of like being able to watch all of this drama happen over, you know, a week and a half, but all in like 2 hours. So, and then it was a couple of days, like 2 or 3 days before the one horse actually had her baby. And they do like live streams of like the horses stalls at night so people can watch them. And the one horse, Raven, was like, they check the milk for a pH level, and then like when the pH level gets to a certain level, when it drops down below like below 7, usually when the pH level of the milk is below 7, then it means that, like, that horse is going to give birth, like, that night or whatever. Like, and so her horse, Raven, like, the pH level dropped really low, and she's like, that's it. Like, that's it. You know, we're expecting a baby tonight, you know, that we'll have a birth tonight. And so she had, like, the live stream up, and she had, like, over a million people watching, apparently. And jeez, the horse did not give birth. So she was like, the next day, she's like, you made a fool out of me. You made me look like I didn't know what I was talking about. And so she's, like, talking to the horse and doing kind of a selfie. But
the horse but then was like, well, I made you a lot of money. So
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, we love recommending people who have lots of followers.
Yeah.
They have lots of followers. But it's cool. It's fun. Like, it's fun content. She does a good job of, like, documenting what's going on and talking about the different horses and giving, like, just the right amount of information, but also the right amount of entertainment, you know, to keep it exciting. So
there you go.
But there you go. All that for just as a recommendation, Kate Events Like on Instagram. So if you're interested in any type of farming or drama or more horses, then that's fun to watch. But it was cool, and it's kind of cool to, like, look at the you know, like, the breeding cycles of like thoroughbred horses, because the actual horse that's the, like, the parent horse is a horse called VS Code Red or something, you know, because all those racehorses have those crazy names. But, like, thoroughbred, that's the father of this horse, is like this beautiful horse that's like this tan and red fur, you know, red hair or whatever. It's like this beautiful thoroughbred horse, male horse, stallion.
So. Yeah.
And the baby was a boy. It was born on January 31st, and a little boy. He's all hoppy and running around all crazy. But they don't do, like, she basically said, like, we'll do a live stream up until the horse goes into actual full labor. She's like, we're not going to live stream through that because you never know what happens, right? There can be all sorts of drama. There can be, you know, we're not going to show that. Though.
Why not?
But they show it. They just show it afterward edited, you know? Yeah. So it's like, of course, if, like, the horse starts, like, dying, they don't want to have that, like, being live streamed, you know, for some reason. So they, like, they showed the whole birth. They show it later, and there's, like, a warning. It's, like, you know, explicit. Like, you're basically seeing this thing give birth. But they showed it after, like, when they knew there was, like, a healthy birth. And then they filmed it all. They got all the footage. They just didn't keep the live cameras going throughout it.
I feel like you'd get, like, hit on Instagram or something for it, or YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Some type of graphic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I'd show it. It feels like the lack of a payoff. You're all waiting for something. It's like, all right, here it comes. We'll see you guys next time. Like, wait, no.
Yeah, you know.
Like, but you know, like, I understand the sadness of something, but it is. I mean, there's plenty of shows that show. Like, Dr. Pohl, you ever watch that? He's just a vet that goes to farms.
Right.
You see animals die all the time on that show. It is after and it is edited, but.
Yeah, right.
It's just a part of it. You pull something out, it's either. The complications, it's sad, but
right. And I'm sure if something crazy would have happened, they would have talked about it. They would have showed what they had, right? Their half of their businesses, like, right, the content, because she does Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and all of it. Like, they do tons of it. They have a whole team of people who are there all the time filming. But so they had it all documented.
A million views on their lives. I mean, that's so much money. They are raking it in.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Cool. But it's good. So there you go. Kate Events Like on Instagram and whatever else, YouTube, TikTok. But no, it's fun. She's like young and pretty. Like, she's like probably in her 30s or something. She's working on the farm that her parents owned as well. And she owns it now, and she owns the horses. And always good content. Cool. Cool. All right, guys. Well, next week we will have a guest on. I'm not going to tell you who it is, that way you can be surprised, but we will say that I'll give you a hint. It's someone from Maker Camp that we all know and love. So if you like Maker Camp, you'll like this one. If check out what we have over on Instagram. You can check out Devin at The Art of Camera Guy, and you can see what I'm doing at The Art of Craftsmanship. I just did a whole series of videos put together on the building of the axe handle storage bins. And if you haven't seen that and you heard me talking about it, you want to see it, go check that out on Instagram. And also it's on YouTube. go to Our Craftsmanship on YouTube. I did a whole reel series there, or short series, whatever they are. And so that's all on both of those platforms. And then if you want to support what we're doing here on the podcast and on the channel, you can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. All right. That's it for now, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. And Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Everybody else, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys all next time.